Okay. Good evening. So we'll start today. We'll start with a little devotion. I like to go through our daily bread. You can hardly hear me. I'll talk louder and lower. I read through our daily bread as part of my devotional, and I think it was last week, Fridays, was 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 21. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And the devotion says, "Inside St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin, Ireland, there's a door that tells a five-century-old tale. In 1492, two families, the Butlers and the Fitzgeralds, began fighting over a high-level position in the region. And the fight escalated, and the Butlers took refuge in the cathedral. When the Fitzgeralds came to ask for a truce, the Butlers were afraid to open the door. So the Fitzgeralds cut a hole in it, and their leader offered his hand in peace. The two families then reconciled, and adversaries became friends. And God has a door of reconciliation that the Apostle Paul wrote passionately about in his letter to the church in Corinth. At his initiative, and because of his infinite love, God exchanged the broken relationship with humans for a restored relationship through Christ's death on the cross. We were far away from God, but in his mercy, he didn't leave us there. He offers us restoration with himself, not counting people's sins against them. Justice was fulfilled when God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we could be at peace with God. Once we accept God's hand in peace, we're given the important task of bringing that message to others. We represent the amazing, loving God who offers complete forgiveness and restoration to everyone who believes." So, I thought that was really... It was interesting with the St. Patrick's Cathedral, but in kind of going with our theme of freedom, once we do accept God's gift, we're given this task of spreading the news. We have the freedom to do it or not. God calls us to do it, but he still gives us a choice of whether we want to or not. So I feel like that's something we should all, desire and want to do. And, we were given this gift. Let's share it with other people and help them know our eternal life, what we have in store for us. So that's all I have for tonight. So bow our heads and pray with me. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for, once again, for Pastor Johnson coming here, Lord, and preaching his word to us, Lord. Lord, we just pray that what he says really hits home to us, and that it's what we need to hear for tonight. We also pray for the offering that we're taking tonight, Lord, that you'll bless what we're going to give. Amen.
I had my head elder texted me today and just said he's how many messages I have left, and he says, just want you to know we're praying for you. And I said, well, I need your prayer multiplied, because these people, they're a tough bunch. No, no, that's not very nice. And I am totally kidding. But he did text me and say he's praying for me, which I really appreciated. And no, you are not a tough bunch at all. You have just a fabulous sense of humor. Just kind of wondering, we've talked about, living free, and freedom from sin, freedom from, what was last night? Self. Now we're talking about freedom to love, and tomorrow night, freedom to serve. So freedom from a few things and freedom for a few things. How many remember the Sunday school lesson? Anything from that you remember that anyone was able to be there? Huh? Born free? As free as the wind blows. As free as the grass goes. What? Yeah, that was in the sermon. Yeah, that was... Yeah, the movie is, about the Elsa the Lion. But during Sunday school, the Sunday school time, God created us. And how did he create us? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Have a $10 bill. I'm willing to give it to whoever wants it. Right back here, the youth pastor. He probably needs it more than anybody. The problem with it is it is wrinkled. Is that okay? It does have a little writing on there. I don't know what that's all about.
I'll inspect it for you.
I just stepped on it. Sorry. You sure you want this? Why? Let's got a little dog ear right there. Why do you want it?
Because the people that take it don't care.
The people that take it don't care. Somebody has determined, our government, I think, that this has value, right? So value has been determined outside of this. Therefore, it has value, right?
No, that's okay.
No?
Okay.
I'm a man of my word. Yours. I'll talk to you later. Am I going to be eating with you or anything? No, it's yours. Some people will look at themselves and say, I have no value. That is not true, is it? It's not true. Why? Well, but I have wrinkles. I have this or that, or I don't look like that, or I can't do that. Therefore, I don't have value. Your value is not determined in you. Your value is determined outside of you. And it's determined by something bigger than our government, believe it or not. It's big enough, but it's determined by God. God Almighty has determined your value. And so therefore, you have value. Who can recite John 3:16 for me? Yeah, should not perish, but... God so loved who? The world. Does that include you and me? It does. It absolutely does. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So God has determined your value, and it was worth him giving his son Jesus to die for. So everybody here has value, no matter what you see when you look in the mirror, no matter what you feel like you can do or can't do. He's the one who determines value. Who are you then to say, no, he's wrong? He's not, because he is truth. He is always right. Romans 8:39 lists off a whole bunch of things, so I just put nothing. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. I have a picture of some Arabian horses there. And I was reading where Arabian horses are trained rigorously in the Middle East desert. The owners of the Arabian horses will teach these horses to obey their master no matter what. And what they will do, one of the methods they use to do that is they will take their horses out in the desert. They will deprive them of water for many days. And then they will let them loose where there's a water source. And just as the horse is getting up to the water source, the master will blow his whistle. And the horses are to stop and turn and come to their master and not drink that water. And then the master will give the horse all the water it needs. Why would they do that? They want the horses to trust their master above anything. Because they will put them through rigorous situations in the desert, and the master knows what is best for the horse. And the master will provide and do everything that master can do to keep those horses going. It's evident which horses trust their master. Can you see where I'm going with this? It's evident which Christians trust their Lord and which ones don't. All you got to do is watch. When times get tough, what happens? When times get tough, it is often a stage. I see it as a stage to show Jesus even more. When times are good, really good, watch. You can tell. Do they enjoy life? Or do they look like they're mad at the world? Are they growing old gracefully or growing old bitterly? What would it take for you to trust God more? What would it take for you to trust God to the point where you see, experience, and enjoy his provision? Lord God, you are our Father. And we pray it, I think, every Sunday, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. I pray that you would teach us how much you care about us, and teach us in this time, Lord, to love you above anything. And show us why. So work in us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, through your word, work in us what is pleasing to you, and we will be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. In Ephesians chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to start reading at verse 14, read 14 through 21. And if you don't have your Bibles, listen, and I'll highlight some things here. But it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." I'm going to stop there, I guess, with verse 19. In verse 16, it says, "I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory." First of all, what would that be? "He may grant you according to the riches of his glory." We can't contain that. That's beyond us. It's amazing, though. It's amazing. And it goes on, "in your inner being through his Spirit." And then I'm gonna jump down to verse 18. It says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. Now, if ever I had a message that's a chick flick, this is tonight, okay? This is the chick flick message. We're talking about love. I have a picture here. This gal, anybody know who this is? Her name is Cecilia. In the evening of August 16th, 1987, Northwest Airlines Flight 255 crashed minutes after taking off from Detroit's Metro Airport, killing all the passengers, 154 passengers, except Cecilia, who was 4 years old at the time. And when they came to the crash, it was obvious nobody survived. There were pieces of stuff everywhere. And it was a huge, huge mess. And they saw this little girl, Cecilia, I don't know how you say her last name, C-I-C-H-A-N, Sichan or Sichan. They saw her wandering around. And they wondered, where did she come from? Did somebody like drop her off on the road and she's wandering out here? Or did she get away somehow from, how did she end up here? And they found out that she had been on the plane. And they're trying to figure out, well, how, is it because she was so small that somehow she was able to survive this when no one else could? Or was it where she was at in the plane? How in the world could she have survived this crash and been the only one, little Cecilia? Well, eventually, they were able to interview her. And she explained that as the plane was falling from the sky, her mother unbuckled her own seatbelt, knelt down in front of her, wrapped her arms and body around little Cecilia, and refused to let go. Cecilia's mother used her own body as a shield to shield her daughter from death. Unimaginable act of love. Selfless. Cecilia now is, you can watch YouTube videos of her testimony and stuff, but I'm not sure how old she is now, but she's a grown woman. As such, being 4 years old, having lost her mother, she grew up without that tangible love of a mother. Her mother wasn't there to send her off on her first day of school. Her mother wasn't available to counsel her during her years. Her mother wasn't present to cheer her on during her graduation. Her mother wasn't there to cry with joy on her wedding day, or sadness, whichever, I'm not sure which that would be. Do you think that there has ever been a day or moment that Cecilia has ever questioned her mother's love for her? I don't think so. In fact, she says she never has. By one pure, courageous, bold act of her mother, it sent her daughter a message. Message of love, sufficient to last a lifetime. Her mother's selfless act stood like a rock, continues to stand like a rock, immovable and unchangeable. In the face of such love, time and distance is irrelevant. Has not God the Father done the same thing by giving his Son for us? To take upon us, on a much larger scale than this mother, to take upon the sin of the world upon himself. We talked about that. Remember, was it Sunday night? How much sin would that be just for you? Let alone everybody who's ever lived, whoever was living at that time, and all of us and whoever else is going to come after us. And that's a lot of sin. He took it all upon himself. Took the penalty of our sin, the death penalty. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. You know why? Because he's experienced them. He took them upon himself on the cross. He's experienced our sin, the pain that comes with that sin. Don't ever, ever question, does God love me? Because he does. Proved it. He wrote it. So a person that gets so down that says, nobody loves me, that's not true. That's a lie. There is one that loves you always. Always. I'm going to show a picture here. You know how well you can see that. Pictures don't do it justice. But years ago, my wife and I, we have relatives in Mankato, and this is at Miniopa State Park, Mankato, in January, early January, and the falls there, the Miniopa Falls, and it's just all around, there's like this ice, and then the sun would kind of shine off. It was beautiful. It was breathtaking. Remember last night I shared how I had been struggling and stuff, gone to Christian counseling, was reading a book that was challenging me, and my wife and I were struggling. This was the beginning at this place, was the beginning of God, from what I could see anyway, God doing an amazing work in my life. I was overlooking this, Miniopa Falls, and it was just breathtaking. And it was the first time in many years that I had stopped to smell the proverbial roses. I'd just been going through life, doing my thing. And as I was standing there, it's like a whisper from God. As I'm looking at this, Tim, this is what I'm about every day. And you haven't even noticed. Why? And so I'm standing there looking at this under conviction, and at the same time, it's like God is trying to show me something. And I started realizing, and it came out later then, I have been too busy building my own kingdom to even notice God around me, to even notice his creation, to even notice what he has for us here on this side of eternity even. This is my wife and I there. I had started praying Proverbs 5:18. 5:18 says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. And I remember my wife and I, we didn't like each other all that much. And I thought, okay, Lord, you know where my heart is here. You know my emotions aren't into this. But I'm going to pray your word. Help me rejoice in the wife of my youth. Help me rejoice. I prayed it many times, daily, for many, many days. And I can tell you, God started working in my heart and in my life. He started answering that prayer. But this experience is where my whole being began to enter into that prayer. I was honestly seeking God. As a result, I was falling in love with him more and more as I would see him more and more, because I was now looking for him more and more. It's not that I wasn't a believer. I knew Jesus had come for my sins. I was grateful for that. But I was missing that daily thing, that daily fellowship. And as that increased, my love for him increased. My love for my wife increased. My love for life increased. My eyes were opening up to his handiwork all around me. As I saw creation, I was seeing amazing things. I would even see bugs crawling across the ground. Just, thank you, Lord. They're so different from other things. It's just the variety. I was seeing things that I had never looked at before. I was seeing God working in people that I was totally missing. Wasn't aware of. I was seeing God work in ministry. I had people coming up to me and saying, Pastor, you've always had good sermons, but something is different. It's I've seen God work in my relationships. Cindy, my wife, really identified with a song called Held by Natalie Grant. And when I was meeting with a Christian counselor, the counselor, he asked me, he said, Tim, does Cindy have any songs that she just really, really likes? I said, yeah, you know, there is one that she just has really, it's just really meant a lot to her. He goes, what is it? And I remembered the song Held by Natalie Grant, and he goes to his computer and brings it up, starts playing it, goes, let's just listen to it. In the refrain, it's a song about the pain of life, trying to deal with the pain in life and hard times. And the refrain goes like this. This is what it means to be held, how it feels when the sacred is torn from your life and you survive. This is what it is to be loved and to know that the promise was when everything fell, we'd be held. I remember not being able to wait until I could get out of the office of my counselor and go home and drive home 45 miles. I could not wait to get home and hold my wife. I told you this would be a chick flick. I remember going in the house and she was making supper, and I just went up to her, Cindy, with a counselor today. I listened to the words in the song, Held. I want you to feel held. She turned around, she started crying, and she just collapsed into my arms. So you can see it's still, still impacting. Life is meant to be enjoyed, to be felt, and to be experienced. It is not meant to be just tasks and work and business. God wants you to know His love. The thing is, it's a lifetime journey. Because here's the deal, you can't exhaust His love. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. It's an everlasting love. You can't exhaust it. I believe that someday, when through Jesus Christ we enter into heaven and we have eternity, we will never, ever exhaust understanding and experiencing the love of God in new ways. Inexhaustible. Everlasting. But it's not something you have to wait for to die to experience. You can start experiencing it now in your life. The love of Calvary is just the beginning. The love that God showed us through His Son, Jesus, is just the beginning. I don't mean just. That was a huge thing. But there's more. There's even more. Infinitely more. Jesus says in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks be open. So go for walks and notice God's creation. If you can't walk, look out the window. Put up a bird feeder or something. You know, watch. Smell the roses once. And look for God's beauty. Look for His order. Look for the way He made things. Look for Him. Look for His goodness in people. As you're visiting with them, just ask God while you're visiting, God, would you bless this person and would you let me see some of that blessing? Help me to see it. Look for God in your situations, especially the bad ones, by the way. I always think when God allows hard things to come our way, He must have, because He loves us so much, He must have something really in mind that He wants to show us or do. So look for it. Watch. Watch for God. He is all powerful. Don't miss Him. Don't miss him. To love you. Help me to love what you love. Help me to love how you love. Pray that. I look at that as ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. By the way, in those verses, it literally means keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. It's like, don't stop. Keep seeking him. Keep asking. Lord, help me. Help me to understand you more. Help me to know your love. Help me to experience your love more. Help me to love like you love. Ephesians 3. Apostle Paul is praying. He says, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, and pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, now remember that Christ being in your hearts, remember that picture? If you're trusting in Jesus as your Savior, he's there. He's there. The capacity is there to love as he loves and to love life. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. He could have prayed anything, but that's what he prayed, that you may know his love. That you may live his love. Verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And you bow with me in prayer. Lord, may we not, don't allow us, use each of us to spur one another on to love and good. Don't allow us, Lord, to plod through life where everything becomes mundane and just routine. But Lord, help us. Help us to see your love and experience your love. Help us, Lord, to love like you love and to love the things that you love and to love how you love. So that as we walk through life, everything all of a sudden has meaning. Everything has your mark, your fingerprints all over it, including us. So thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for that constant reminder to ask and seek and knock, and you're always, always there for us. So I pray, Lord, that you'll be busy the remainder of this week and throughout our lives as we seek and as we ask and as we knock. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.